Welcome to part two of the Townships at 12. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, here in the Eastern Townships. In the second part of today's show, I will be talking with Chantien Boulanger, director and curator of the Forman Art Gallery on the campus of Bishop's University. And we will be talking about the new exhibition going on right now, and it's called Pretending for Real. I will also have some health news and some more music. So let's get part two started with a song called Therapy at the Club, and it's a new one by Flo.
Bottle of 42 helps to ease the pain. Don't really care if I'm the one you play. Cause when it comes down to it, it's a lonely world. And when it comes down to it, I'm a lonely girl. I took the time, it wasn't cheap. You should sign up, it worked for me. Therapy at the club, go dance with someone. Go run your mouth to a stranger, cause their arms feel safer than telling the man that you love. He's not enough, and talking is tough. For the girl at the back, I finally found someone to give her attention and promise me that she won't go back. She did the work, she got that girl, it worked for her. You should sign up. Therapy at the club,
has a unique way of inviting us to question identity, perception, and the roles we play in everyday life. Today on the Townships at 12, we're taking a closer look at the latest exhibition at the Forman Art Gallery titled Pretending to Be. Joining me is Chantien Boulanger, curator and director of the gallery, to talk about this thought-provoking exhibition and the ideas behind it. Through contemporary works and creative exploration, Pretending to Be examines themes of identity, performance, transformation, and the ways we present ourselves to the world. Today we'll learn more about the artists involved, the inspiration behind the exhibition, and what visitors can expect when they experience this fascinating new show. So we welcome Chantien Boulanger from the Forman Art Gallery. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Chantien Boulanger. She is the curator and director of the Forman Art Gallery on the campus of Bishop's University. So welcome, Chantien.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
Now, you have a new exhibition. It's fascinating and somewhat mysterious. It's called Pretending for Real. What does that mean in simple terms for our listeners?
So this exhibition, Pretending for Real, is a project devised by an art collective called La Famille Plouf. So it's an actual family who works together as an art collective. So the two parents and three kids are devising art projects together. And throughout like I would say the span of maybe 15 years. They have been highly involved in devising what we call public art projects. So there's a law in Quebec where any new construction has to allocate 1% of its budget to a permanent art installation. So this is what we call public art in Quebec. And La Famille Plouf is sort of, are sort of like experts in these kinds of projects. So devising art that is meant to be permanently installed in public spaces. And so the exhibition Pretending for Real is a solo exhibition that retrospectively looks at many, many, many projects that they've conceptualized for public art competitions. Some of them have been realized in reality, but others remained at a more embryonic stage of conceptualization, maquette, but have never been realized in the actual public space. And so the exhibition asks the question, when does a project start to become real? Is it when it is being conceived, thought about, and put into shape through maquettes and props? Or does it become actually real when it's, you know, built in its actual size in public spaces, per se? And so it's an entire exhibition that plays on the gray zone or the kind of spectrum where ideas are remaining sort of in the air, speculative, and to what stage do they start to become anchored in reality and becoming the real thing, the real deal? And so there's a lot of like pretending to be real in the exhibition. We are currently building a fragment of a large scale public artwork that is actually fictitious. It's never going to be constructed in the real world, but we're sort of pretending that it is. And so we have this fake public art design for Sherbrooke. And there's a whole discourse around this fictitious piece of art. And so we're playing with the very, very sort of, the threshold between what's real, what's faking or pretending or simply not yet at the stage of having become, you know, concretized or actualized.
That is fascinating. Now, if someone walks in with no art background at all, what will they immediately see or feel?
Oh my God. They will be saturated with a plethora of objects, maquette environments, colors. Colors will pop at their eyes everywhere, and a whole range, a whole diversity of materials from wood branches to bronze sculptures to taxidermized animals to plywood. And there's an actual, in the center of the gallery, there will be jury tables that are set up with fragments and props from would-be projects presented on the tables as if a public art jury was just about to be placed in the gallery.
Okay. Now, the exhibition explores what happens behind the scenes public art competitions. Now, why focus on that process that rather than the finished artworks, do you think?
Because I think sometimes people are, in their everyday life, people are encountering public art, you know, at their schools or public libraries, on the street. And I think that very, very few people have an acute understanding of the full range of implications of these projects, the scale of planning, logistics that is implied by this kind of project, but also the diversity of individuals that are implicated, from engineers to municipal representatives. So it's a whole, public art is a collective endeavor, and there are like many, many, many stages of presentation, communication, and persuasion in the realization of such projects. And we just found it was an interesting topic in itself to make people understand the complexity of these processes and the multiplicity of people that are involved in these projects.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Now, the show includes models, mock-ups, audio, even scripted performances. How immersive is that experience for visitors?
So I would say that the exhibition is first and foremost kind of like we could see the gallery as like a total environment in which visitors are immersed in like a large scale installation, basically. So the visitors shouldn't expect to see individual works neatly hung up on the walls. It's going to be sort of they will be immersed in an excess of objects, environments, build components that are conversing one with another. It's very much on the side of abundance and a density of colors, of formal rendering, and a huge diversity of aesthetic language as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the description mentions a kind of docu-fiction. How do you balance what's real and what's imagined in this exhibit?
So we like not to designate reality and fiction too neatly in the exhibition itself, so as to allow a freedom of interpretation for visitors. But as gallery attendants, we're on site to engage in conversations with our visitors regarding this question. And so we'd like to first, pitch the question to our visitors, where do you see any form of, or do you perceive any form of potential line between what could be real or not real in the exhibition? And then we start going through, all the work and installations and projects with them, sort of telling them stories behind these artifacts, and describing to them, the extent to which all this is real.
Now, do you think visitors from the region will recognize elements of their own community in the work?
So most of the elements that are shown in the exhibition are referring to projects that have been conceived or not all over Quebec. So it's possible that members of the community recognize some things, but it's not, it's everything that is being shown is not restricted to our local region whatsoever. So it depends to which extent they've encountered public art, all over the province. And in other areas such as in Montreal or Somme, Quebec, etc. But at the center of the exhibition, as I was saying, is this fictitious public art project that is actually dedicated or thought of in relationship to Sherbrooke's history. And we are also showing a documentary that was produced by the ONF in the 1950s. In our little video tank space that is in direct conversation with the exhibition. And so the history behind that public art, fictitious public artwork that we're presenting, refers back to this very particular history in Sherbrooke of a snowshoeing club. And there was this documentary, Les Raquetteurs, so a documentary documenting a snowshoeing congress that took place in Sherbrooke in the 1950s. So there's something that is like weirdly real, but also fantastical, that refers to this very, very peculiar history. And we are sort of playing and speculating around that history in our exhibition.
Mm-hmm. I certainly can't wait to see the exhibition. Now, the exhibition is described as making the process the subject. Why is the creative process itself worth showcasing?
Because I think it reveals a lot about the workings of creativity, and it helps people understand the way contemporary creative work functions today. And it's a way to see through time, like through a specific art collective, personal sort of lineage of work, how, creation sort of builds on itself, in a very iterative manner from project to project. And so it reveals a lot about sort of like the cogs and ways that artists are working with nowadays.
And would you say there's a message here about how art is selected, judged, or even valued in public spaces?
Definitely. It's part of it, certainly, because a lot of the, many of the projects that we get to see in the exhibition, many of the maquettes, for instance, are about projects that in the end have not been selected, so that do not exist in real life, that remain sort of dormant at the stage of, conception without having been constructed. So it tells a lot about criteria, selection criteria and perception of creation and how these decisions are being made in the public space.
Mm-hmm. How do you hope visitors will feel when they leave? Confused, inspired?
I think they will be, to some extent, flabbergasted by the density and the sort of chromatic presence. The exhibition will be very, very strongly material and will have lots of elements to look at. I think that people will leave the exhibition enchanted to some degree, and also maybe potentially more curious that they came in with.
When does the exhibition start? Has it started already? And how long will it be on view?
The exhibition is ongoing up until July 4th. And it follows our regular opening schedule at the galleries. So from Tuesdays to Saturdays, and we are open from noon to 5 p.m.
Okay, that's good. Any special events other than the opening tied to the exhibition?
Not particularly, but we have, we are available to provide, group visits, and we are also have, an entire pedagogical, kit that is available regarding the exhibition. And, we also provide workshops for those interested.
Okay, sounds fascinating. In one sentence, why should someone in Sherbrooke make time to come and see Pretending for Real, do you think?
I think, this project is, highly stimulating for creative persons. I think also that families and kids will absolutely love, relating to the works and having discussions about them together. It's got a quite, I would say, a very ludic sort of sense of presence. It's a lighthearted show that tackles very complex and serious questions, but in a very sort of I wouldn't say humorous, but like kind of lighthearted, very ludic, with a sense of tricking ourselves about the reality of these projects. So it plays with the public. It's a playful exhibition.
Okay. Anything we left out that you'd like to add, Jean-Tien?
No, I think that covers it. I think there are elements that will be very interesting for families, because we will see traces of the kids' implication in the conception of this exhibition. So it shows how, families as, a sort of like a system cell can work together and become creative together, sort of forming a collective mind all through the generations.
Mm-hmm. And sounds really fascinating. The exhibition at the Forman Art Gallery on the campus of Bishop's University, Pretending for Real, that is on from to July 4th. And we've been talking with the curator and director of the Forman Art Gallery, Jean-Tien Bellanger. So thank you very much for your time. And the exhibition sounds fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
And next up, we have some health news for you here on the Townships at 12. As spring settles in across the eastern townships, many people are heading outdoors to dig in the soil, plant flowers, or tend vegetable gardens. But gardening offers much more than beauty. It can also provide remarkable benefits for our physical and mental health. Gardening is a gentle form of exercise that helps improve flexibility, strength, and balance. Activities like digging, planting, watering, and weeding keep the body moving and help maintain healthy joints and muscles, especially as we age. Even light gardening gets us stretching, bending, and walking, all of which support heart health and circulation. Spending time outdoors also exposes us to fresh air and sunlight, which helps the body produce vitamin D, important for bone health, immunity, and mood. Studies have shown that being in nature can lower stress hormones and help calm the nervous system. Many gardeners say they feel more peaceful and grounded after spending time with plants and flowers. Gardening can also be emotionally healing. Watching something grow from a tiny seed into a thriving plant gives a sense of purpose, accomplishment, and hope. For people dealing with stress, grief, anxiety, or loneliness, tending a garden can create a comforting daily routine and a feeling of connection to the natural world. And of course, vegetable gardening brings the added benefit of fresh, healthy food right from your own backyard. encouraging healthier eating and a greater appreciation for seasonal produce. The wonderful thing about gardening is that it doesn't have to be perfect or elaborate. Whether you grow tomatoes, herbs, flowers, or simply keep a few pots on a balcony, every little bit of time spent nurturing plants can also nurture your own well-being. So this spring, don't just think of gardening as a chore. Think of it as a simple and natural way to care for both body and mind. And that's our health news today here on the Townships at 12. I would like to thank my guests on the show today. In the first half hour, Jolene Smith and Gina Keat for telling us all about the wine and cheese and fashion show fundraiser for the Cab Redeker Center happening on May 23rd at the Haskell Opera House in Stansted. And in the second part of today's show, Jean-Tien Bélanger, director and curator of the Forman Art Gallery. Check out the website and plan a trip to the gallery to see Pretending for Real. The Tuesday show is repeated at noon on Wednesday. And if you have a community event coming up or an idea for a future interview, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will close with a song called Home to Us, and it's by Paul McCartney. You've been listening to the Townships at 12 on the Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, the voice of the townships.
The place we used to live, and you could say it wasn't much, but it was home to us. And you could be forgiven if you thought that it was rough, but it was home. Began to wilt and then they turned to dust. But it was home to us. We didn't worry where the road was gonna take us to. There wasn't time to make a fuss, cause that was all we knew. The place was falling down, but it was my hometown, and it was home to us. The lady on the hill was drinking brandy, eating caviar, the perfect host. My mom was in the kitchen, washing dishes in the sink, and then she burned. But that was my hometown, and it was home to us. There wasn't time to make a fuss, cause that was all we knew. The place was falling down, but that was my hometown.
It was home to us. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was home to us.